A few weeks ago, we broke into the Luke 11 version of the Lord's Prayer. It's in other Gospels as well, but we're in Luke going through chapter by chapter, line by line, and happened to come up on this wonderful dissertation as Jesus is instructing a disciple. Why is he instructing a disciple how to pray? Because he asked. He simply asked. I have no notes ready. Oh, man. The Spirit is good today. I don't know if I need them. It's so good. The Lord is here. Amen. A disciple asked. You know, he could have asked, hey, you know, how do you get that power to multiply the fishes and loaves? And you know, how do you raise the dead? And I'd like to be able to do that. No, this guy asked how we can pray. He knew that John the Baptist's disciples did it. And we're going to see that in verse 1 here. Let's just read through the Lord's Prayer here. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. He was recognizing something perhaps missing in his own life. He's seeing what Jesus did often. Jesus often prayed. One beautiful thing about going through the scripture is that we see Jesus praying. It's an obvious thing. If he's in one situation or another, if he's by himself or he's in the company of thousands, he's praying. He not only models prayer and how to pray, he actually modeled it by doing it. Another thing that came to me this particular grandparents' day of being emboldened and excited about the gospel is to lead by example. To do it, not just preach it, to do it. And I need to be reminded of that. Amen. So how do you do it? And Jesus is the perfect model in situations. He'd pray all night. We know before he chose the disciples, he prayed all night. That was quite a decision to be made. No sleep. Have you ever been up all night? Don't turn on the infomercials. There's nothing but garbage on. They're trying to sell you something. If you watch it for half an hour, you're probably going to buy it. If you watch anything for half an hour, you're going to buy it, including the programming. That's why they call it programming. Tune into the frequency of heaven. Open your Bible. I know you don't feel good. You're irritated and frustrated because you can't sleep. But make it, redeem it. Redeem the time. Make it valuable. And if you don't sleep, praise God, at least you prayed and things and fruit will come of it. So he modeled that for us. And sometimes the prayer was real brief. We know before the division of the loaves and fishes, it was, he thanked God. There was a simple thanks to heaven. And then the miracle ensued. So there wasn't a whole night of laborious prayer in that case. So we have all sorts of examples. And sometimes we hear the words of his prayer, and sometimes it just mentions, as in this case, in verse 1 of chapter 11, that it came to pass as he was praying. The Mount of Transfiguration, what preceded that? He went up to the mountain to pray. And what happened after that? Nothing if he didn't pray. I tell you that right now. The resources he demonstrated came from prayer. So the importance of prayer is coming to bear here as we look at chapter 11. As my notes finally come up here. Good thing about paper, I'd be right in it by now, right? We covered the first part of it. We're going to break out this model prayer into seven pieces. You can think of it as a seven-course meal sitting there in front of you on a table that Jesus set. By the way, he's going to serve us someday. It's called the Wedding Feast of the Lamb, the Lamb's Supper.
Marriage Supper of the Lamb.
Thank you. And it comes something like that. You're going to see this hand, friend, maybe reach around you, you know, as you're sitting at the table, man, having a good time. You can hear the worship going on, and all of a sudden you're going to see this hand come around with a nail print in it and handing you some bread or doing something good there. Praise God. And so we look forward to that day when Jesus is going to be doing that. Amen. A seven-course meal, though, here we're being talked about in prayer. Prayer is a full experience. It's an experience of fullness, the fullness of God. And he wants our joy to be complete. He wants us to hear his voice. So there's a table set before us. We can think of it that way. We also talked about it in comparison to art and music. Some of us have gone through art lessons or music lessons, and you sit down and you start plinking away at the piano, or you start scratching with a Etch-a-Sketch or the pencil to start going on to your artistic abilities, and instructors helping you. The Lord is helping us with something that's even more wonderful and beautiful than art and music, and that's prayer. So I want you to be excited about prayer this morning. Interesting that there's seven notes in the old scale. The do, re, mi, fa, sol, la. There used to be seven. It's the...
Well, a full octave.
Yes. Yep. The one that started that was actually a believer back in the year 1000. And he did it to help teach people to worship. So he came up with seven. He came up with seven particular notes, and that's where the do, re, mi came from, and not Sound of Music. They kind of went from there with it and made it into a different song. But he was an awesome believer, and he wanted people to worship. I have his name here in my notes if they ever come up. Does anybody know his name? Guido was his first name.
Really?
Yeah, I think there's an application called Guido something in electronics now where you can learn music named after him. But it's awesome that it comes from a believer, and his desire to teach people to worship came from this, and even did the lines, that instead of music being all over the place, he did the lines to organize things that way. So if you want an interesting study, those that are musically interested, you can look up Guido and the Do Re thing, okay? And the seven notes that he came up with and as he taught people to worship. But the number seven here, that's how many parts that we're going to break out this wonderful, beautiful thing called prayer today. God bless these young folks that and older folks that got baptized at camp this week. We want to keep them in prayer. Just sliding back into an announcement here, kind of. Keep John in prayer, Dylan in prayer, and those that received Christ, especially those that are brand new in Christ that received them right down at the camp there. And others as well, all those young folks, especially.
Caleb,
Tabitha, and they're getting baptized as well, being believers. Just keep these people in prayer as the Lord shows you. Amen. Glory to God. Wow. Prayer is an awesome experience. We want to graduate from just plinking at a piano, Mary had a little lamb. You know, if 30 years into our Christian walk, we're still one fingering Mary had a little lamb, and that's the equivalent of our prayer, God would have us to go forward a little bit more. And pretty soon you don't know, so what are my fingers doing? You're just kind of looking around, and your fingers are kind of doing their own thing, and prayer becomes a natural thing. It's part of your being. Your whole body's engaged. Your mind, body, your soul, your spirit, your heart is engaged. Praise God. Teach us how to pray, Lord. What a wonderful question. I'm the guy at the back of the class clown, that is secretly glad that somebody asked the obvious question. Jesus must be pleased to hear this question. He's used to his disciples actually sleeping while he's praying. He's sleeping and the storm's going on and they're awake, feared, and they should be sleeping and confident that God's going to get them through it. So just the flip-flop is what normally happens. So I imagine Jesus is pleased to hear this question. Just as we imagine in our own experience when a small child comes up to us and asks those important questions and we get to talk about serious matters. Amen. So we did talk about the first part, number one out of seven, we introduced 2 weeks ago. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So the address E of the prayer is our Father in heaven. We talked about right off the bat having an issue. We are communicating with the highest, the one above all, the one that created everything. We have a letter. This prayer is a type of letter, but it ain't got no stamp. It's not going anywhere. There's a problem. The paint is there, but we don't have a canvas. The words are there, but the melody is missing. That our Father speaks of a relationship that cannot happen outside of Jesus Christ. The gospel, what we preach, the blood that was shed on the cross, makes our Father a reality for you and me. Otherwise, it's not. We could say the big guy upstairs or God or whatever. But when it becomes my Father or our Father, that says something. That says that Jesus died on the cross and it put the hour with the Father. So there's a lot there just in that. Praise God. We know that He has not given us the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, dear Daddy, that is. So our Father or dear Daddy is the same thing. We have a relationship with Him on that level of intimacy, of love and compassion and tenderness. Praise God. The second part, there's a lot more to that first part. You could listen to the recording on the website, please. If you missed that, you can catch up there. Let's get into the second part. Thy kingdom come. So now the brush has hit the canvas and the finger has touched the strings or the keys of the instrument, the structure of the masterpiece beginning and flowing. The prayer is moving. Your kingdom comes. For the painter, a focal point needs to be determined. For a musician, a particular melody or beat, a rhythm needs to be established. There used to be a game show, in fact, a long time ago called Name That Tune. Did that come back? Did that ever come back? Okay, I thought it might have.
Maybe.
But I could name that tune in three beats, and then you'd have to do it, and then you win a bag of cheese or something. I don't know what you want. For the son or daughter of the living God in prayer, we begin by looking forward. Our prayer flows from a forward-looking perspective, not backwards. We will be looking back during this prayer, but the starting point, the perspective, the calibration, the mindset is a looking forward. Thy kingdom come is a looking forward statement of faith. Philippians 3:13 would tie into that. By the way, we can pray scripture. You're in prayer, you can just recite scripture, you can read it, and you can pray scripture. Some pastors have done that. They've prayed through the sermon. They've prayed through the text. Philippians 3:13, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, that's achieved, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. My favorite New Year's verse. But every day should begin with that one, right? Forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Your kingdom is coming. That's a forward-reaching statement. It shapes and it molds our thoughts as we're praying and thinking through things. So you could kind of think as your prayers, you're getting orientated. You're kind of like this when we come into prayer, at least I am. And then we're kind of coming into form and position and we're looking at the Lord. We're getting in our position here as we're praying. Philippians 3:14, just following that one, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Thy kingdom come. Press toward the goal. Hebrews 12:2, another one. Looking unto Jesus. That's forward looking. It's always forward looking when you're looking at Jesus. The author and finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus, our calling in Him, and ultimately our appointment with Him, where we're going to stand face to face with Jesus. Hopefully we're going to be hearing and recognizing a familiar voice which has been leading us on this earthly journey. You don't want your first meeting with Jesus. It's like, who are you? You're going to want to be able to have that meeting, one of recognition. There's going to be a recognition there because you've heard His voice down here. You're going to recognize Him up there. If it's a first meeting, that's not going to be a good meeting. You want your meeting with Jesus down here And today is your day of salvation, the scripture says. Make it today. Look unto Jesus. He's a good shepherd. He wants to lead us, and he wants to do that today. Number three is actually, thy will be done. So in earth. Thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. So now with this forward view in mind, we declare, we desire his will. So what have we just, what have we done so far? We've entered into his kingdom first. Not brought God into our kingdom. We've entered into his kingdom. We've made that first in our prayer. And from there, we'll transition into earthly matters, what's happening in our kingdom, so to speak. From the Father to his will in heaven, to his will on earth. Thy will be done in heaven, so on earth. So you see now in this verse, in this particular part of the verse, we're transitioning from heaven to earth. But beginning there with his kingdom first. Matthew 6:33 says, anybody remember? Seek ye what?
First,
the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Well, you can see that happening just in the model prayer. You can see a seeking first of his kingdom, addressing the Father in heaven, his will being done on earth. Seek first the kingdom of God. If we begin our prayers with, hey, this is so-and-so, and here's what I'm looking for, our melody in our prayer is not going to flow, and the artwork will not have any meaning to it. It'll be chaos. So we need this orientation. This is very important. Jesus is teaching us how to pray. We should pay attention. He's training us how to pray so that it's effective, it's meaningful, it's purposeful, and it's beautiful. As we transition to what is happening on earth and our lives, we should have this frame of understanding that comes from Philippians 1:6. As we transition from heaven to earth here in this prayer, we should have this confidence. We always pray in faith. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. It's not a may, it's not a maybe. In fact, the whole thing rests on the Lord. Being confident of this very thing, that he and you, no, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just the way he saved you, you didn't have anything to do with it. He's working in you from that point of salvation to complete a work until he comes again. So we can pray with that confidence as we transition from seeking the kingdom of God first and being oriented towards heaven unto the earthly matters. We can be confident that it's him working in us. Again, we are looking here unto Jesus as the instrument to which our prayer is made. Not only his kingdom coming, will every knee bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, but to be doing that now. In fact, that is to be the first thing that we do, is to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That just puts ourselves off of the throne there. Long before that day that we do meet Jesus, and when that verse comes to pass, where every knee will, the believers and unbelievers, every knee will bow. Long before that day, we should have plenty of experience being on our knees, which means humbling ourselves before him and confessing him as Lord and Savior. What does it mean for him to be our Lord? Simply means that we desire the will of God to be done in our lives. Thy will be done is a kneeling down and not only recognizing that God is the author and finisher and that he is faithful to complete it, but now is the time to hear it, to tune in to his plan and purposes. Now we can move on to the bread, my favorite topic, eating. That's verse 3. This is course number 4 set before you on the table, and the beautiful experience called prayer is give us day by day our daily bread. Or give us this day our daily bread, as the translation might say. Praise God. Coming into this, I have set aside my agenda, and I'm listening for his. I'm not waiting for multiple choice from God. God, here's the choices I'm giving you. Or multiple choice towards God. God, should I do this or this? No, I'm opening everything up. Anything's possible with you, Lord. What would you like me to do? So I'm getting orientated. I'm coming from a discombobulation into good form before God. And that's being on my knees and being submitted to what His will is. And just being just saturated in His love and His grace. Setting aside my agenda, listening for His. It takes belief though, doesn't it? Part of this is an expression of faith, isn't it? Our prayer is an expression of faith. Thy will be done on earth. As crazy and weird as things may seem, I need not to trust my eyes, but live by faith in the Son of God. As crazy and weird as things may seem, I shouldn't trust my eyes, but live by faith in the Son of God. That Jesus is my Lord, and He's a shepherd that's leading me. So my life might look like this, a whirlwind, but through that I'm not going to trust the whirlwind and focus on that. I'm going to trust that, Lord, You are leading me through this valley. You're leading me through this. It takes faith. Prayer involves faith. The Spirit within me wooing and urging me to call out to God by seeking the face of Jesus Christ. By listening to the leading of Jesus. His voice is what I seek. The Holy Spirit is supporting me from behind. And Jesus is the vision for that I'm looking at. The prize is the will of the Father in heaven. This brings us into a melody and it's moving and tears may be even flowing as we pray. To be connected with God so intimately from behind, with His Holy Spirit supporting us, in pressing us forward, and in the front, Jesus looking at us with His beautiful eyes of fire. He's got you. He's got you. Rest in Him. Listen to Him. The daily bread. Praise God. The most familiar part of prayer possibly is our needs being, or supplications they're called for a fancy word, put before God. This is our shopping list for God. Here it is, God. Here's my shopping list. Quite often, this can change or be answered already just in the first part of the prayer. We could be so filled with the presence of God, we forgot what our shopping list was. As we are properly orientated with the instrument of Jesus Christ, His body and His blood, what we begin to play out may sound very different. This daily bread, this asking of God may actually come out very different as we're oriented properly before God. Notice it says daily or day by day. These are the immediate needs that we have in order to live day by day. Although this seems like a basic element of the prayer, I think it's one of the most left out in our daily experience in this particular land of plenty. What part of the proverb do you think describes our country and our people? Proverbs chapter 30. Let me read you just a couple of verses from Proverbs 30. Which do you think applies to us as a country presently? Proverbs 30, verses 8 and 9. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Vanity is just superficial nonsense. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, what I need, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. Where do you think we are in that verse, verses 8 and 9? From my experience, we're in the who is the Lord in our country today. That's coming from being full of having so much things taken care for us that we don't even ask for the daily bread anymore. Everything is taken care of, and it's like, who is the Lord? Oh yeah, it's the, I go, it's Sunday, yeah. So this man writing this proverb understands something very wise here. Said, if I have too much, I'm going to forget you, Lord. But if I have too little, I'm going to sin against you and be tempted to steal. So Lord, just what I need, please. He understands the plight of humanity. So this daily bread is something that we need to incorporate into our prayer, especially in this country. Understanding the daily dependency. We sang it. Somebody was, I don't know who wrote this song, but I mean, it's not even daily that they need the Lord. It's like hour by hour. And I would even go further than that. It's moment by moment. God, I need you. And oh my goodness, can I give testimony to that? I need you every moment of the day, Lord God. This daily dependency is built right into the basic elements of prayer. It's the canvas, the paint, the brush, the melodies, the harmonies. It's the key to prayer. Yet for many of us, we have lost touch with that daily need for God. Our nation is showing strong evidence that has forgotten God, just like Proverbs 30 talked about. It doesn't take long at all for us to forget God. I find this very interesting. In the birth of our country, in 1787, just a little while after 1776, the Declaration of Independence, was the Constitutional Convention. The guys were going to sit down, and now we're going to hammer out the details, the dry, boring details of the Constitution, you know, the Declaration is that beautiful thing, and now we got to, well, let's get detailed now. And so now they're fighting over, you know, is it this, is it that? And they couldn't make a decision for anything. They were deadlocked for 3 days. 3 days, and just, man, you could imagine, they needed right guard. It was horrible. This took place in Philadelphia. Then 83-year-old Ben Franklin stands up and says this. This is a beautiful part of our country. I love it. In the beginning of the contest with Great Britain, when we were sensible of danger, 83-year-old, praise God, we had daily prayer in this room for divine protection. Our prayers, sir, were heard, and they were graciously answered. This is a man that would hear George Whitefield preaching the gospel and blood of Jesus Christ in the streets of Philadelphia. All of us who were engaged in the struggle must have observed frequent instances of a superintending providence in our favor. To that kind providence, we owe this happy opportunity of consulting in peace on the means of establishing our future national felicity. And have we now forgotten that powerful friend? Only a few years later, asking that question from Proverbs 30. I have lived, sir, a long time. He sure did. He was 83. And the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth that God governs in the affairs of men. If a sparrow cannot fall to the ground with his notice, is it profitable that an empire can rise without his aid? We have been assured, sir, in the sacred writings that except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. I firmly believe this, and I also believe that without this concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel. We shall be divided by our little partial local interests. Our projects will be confounded, and we ourselves shall become a reproach and byword to the future ages. What a prophet. And what is worse, mankind may hereafter, from this unfortunate instance, despair of establishing governments, be human wisdom, and leave it to chance, war, and conquest. I therefore beg leave to move that henceforth prayers imploring the assistance of heaven. And I lost my place. Sorry. You can read it. You can read it. In school textbooks, secular books, it's out there. Benjamin Franklin's turning point in the Constitutional Convention. And shortly after, these guys amazingly came to an agreement, and we have what we call our Constitution today. Amen. So I encourage you just to read that yourselves and look over this model prayer. As next week, we will be getting into the final parts of this seven-course meal that is being set before us. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. The guys are going to come up that would... All right, at least we have a triplet or whatever. Trio.
How deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure. That He should give His only Son. To make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turned His face away. As wounds which mar the chosen one. Many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross. My sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice. Call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there. Until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything. No gifts, no power, no wisdom. But I will boast in Jesus Christ. His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer. But this I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer. But this I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Praise the Lord God. Thank you, Lewis. Let's close our eyes and just have a quiet moment before God and allow some of these things to sink in. Lord Jesus, You would have us to be creatures of prayer, but great listeners, Lord God, to hear Your voice. To hear Your voice, Lord, to get it deciphered from all the noise in our head and from the world and the junk, to be able to tune in to that very specific frequency, Your voice leading us, wooing us, supporting us, to do your will, Lord God. I pray that blessing and anointing over everyone here today, Lord God, including myself, that this week, even today, Lord, we would hear your voice clearer than ever before, that we'd be able to recognize you on that day standing before you. We desire, we beg, we beseech you, Lord God, fill us with your Spirit, cleanse us with your blood, Lord God, forgive us of our sins. Purify our hearts and minds, Lord God, that we would hear you. We need direction, Lord. All of us have questions, unsettled things. We need wisdom from above, God. Make us your disciples, your students, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Know this, that God loves you. If you're feeling confused right now, if there's confusion and distress, allow that to leave in the name of Jesus Christ and allow His light to be filled. He said, let there be light. It was the first verses of the Bible. When things were formless and void and things were confusing and dark, He said, let there be light. And I'm telling you, He did that for me today. He did that for me in my life. And He does it over and over and over. He says, let there be light. He's a God of light and love and life. Praise you, Lord Jesus Christ, for bringing us out of that place of Egypt, out of the bondage of the devil and the world. Set us free, God, to serve you. Make us fearless, courageous, lions. Praise you, Lord God. Glory to God. Be with us today. Amen.